Welcome to episode 4. I'm so glad that you're joining us on our journey. Hope that you're warm, that you're comfy, that you're cozy and settled in, that you have your cup of hot chocolate or coffee next to you. And yeah, you're listening to Ashil and Mav.
Today we're going to be diving into all things Xbox from the showcase. We're going to be talking about the games, the updates, and what you need to know. We then dive into Gamers Being Anyone. We talk about You Know Who and the article about gaming being a mental disorder. And we share some stories from our childhood about when we received our first console.
Hey, Mavs, how are you?
Hey, Ash, my brother, I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. We did have a few technical difficulties
right
just a few minutes ago, but I'm happy to say that we are ready to get into today's episode. I say we as if I'm talking to myself or referring to myself in the third person. But yeah, we are ready to go, Ashil, all of us.
Before we jump into this episode, Ash, I think you and I want to take a few moments just to thank everyone for such a positive feedback that we've been getting from these episodes. We're really glad that you guys are digging the content. Ash, I know when you sent me a few screenshots from your mates, it made me so happy to see that people are really, really responding well to this. And we love you. Thank you so much for supporting us. Without you, this will just be audio on a platform. Ash, you want to thank our peeps?
Yeah, without you guys and without the listeners out there, this would just be two guys talking to each other about nonsense. But yeah, thank you for listening to our content, for giving us time of day, and honestly letting us know how you feel and if you have been enjoying the content. I know many of you have. I'm not going to name any names because chances I'm probably going to forget and leave someone out.
Right.
So yeah, thank you everyone for the support and the kindness and excitement that you've shown, because honestly, we didn't think that we were going to get such a positive feedback and response, but right. Yeah, we are super keen and we are very excited to be making more of these.
When we first started off, Ash and I had a conversation and we said, if we just have one listener every week, we just have one listener that loves our content, we'll be happy. And it turns out, from launch, we have gathered more than 50 players. And that's really something that I hold close to my heart. Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And without further ado, let's get into it.
Okay, Ash, I think our Noob Scoop is filled with Xbox comments and statements and questions. Did you watch the showcase?
Okay, I think I need to confess something. That I was looking at some news or something, and then I saw a message from you, and then it said, are you watching the Xbox showcase? And I said, no. and then I did a quick YouTube search of it, and then I saw that there was some pretty cool stuff that was on there. And yeah, so why don't you tell us about what you saw or what you've seen when you're watching?
There was so much that they showed us, so much to dive into. I'm really rooting for Xbox, even though I play PlayStation and I've only played Xbox years back. I'm really rooting for them. They've got some really cool games coming out for our Xbox listeners, our noobs out there. I know everyone is talking about Halo Infinite and how you did or did not like the gameplay that they showed and how the graphics weren't or were not were up to par. But just to be clear that they are still working on the game, what we've seen is a build that is still in progress. In fact, Xbox, the GM of marketing, actually, in an interview, said after the Xbox showcase that, hey guys, it's still a work in progress and there's still a lot of time from now till the holidays when the game launches around there. So there's a lot of work to be done and they're still working on it. So don't judge too harshly. I know I've seen a few memes on Facebook where they were comparing the pilot from the trailer, from the gameplay, to Joel. The Last of Us and Ghost of Tsushima. Those are two different things. Yeah. Those are finished products, and this is a product that's still in progress. So please bear that in mind when you judge them. And then a few other games that I was really excited for was Everwild. I don't know if you managed to catch that trailer, Ash.
Yeah, I did. But before we get into Everwild,
sure.
Halo, I did see that. And I'm really worried about Xbox. I know you, I'm going to try to be non-biased and just be objective about this, but critically speaking, that game for next gen looks like crap. I mean, it looks like something that we've seen before, right. And the pop-ins and the shaders, and I understand that Xbox wanted to lead with something that was a stable, mm-hmm. or staple to the brand,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, I think it was rushed, and because the marketing for the game was very well done. Now, these are not my words. These are the words from the various YouTubers that I did see that were actually hyped for the game and for the launch.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, they didn't have the same feeling of, yay, Xbox, I want to get myself a Series X as soon as I can. And if that is what is your feeling after watching the launch, then I think that there is troubling times ahead. I don't want to sound like one of the heralds in medieval times that would shout from the streets. But yeah, I am a bit concerned for Xbox.
Look, brother, I hear you. And I think I've been getting that a lot from what people have been saying online and some of my friends as well. It's not ready yet. And while I do agree with you about them rushing it, I feel like they've been working on this Halo Infinite 343 Industries, who is the developer of the game, for I think 5 years. And I think that if they just paused and if they just waited to show us like gameplay that wasn't a work in progress, gameplay that had the textures fully loaded, because a lot of people were complaining about the pilot's face and how it was not texturized. If they just said, hey, we've got Xbox X and that's your hero for the showcase, let's just hold off on Halo Infinite, hold off, wait, and then show it to the world when you're ready, that would have been better. But obviously, this is a company that's looking to sell their product, so they had to show us Halo Infinite. And while I am rooting for them, I do agree with you about the concerns that you have. I'm worried, but at the same time, they did have some really, really good games coming out from some talented developers.
Yeah, they did. But they led with, like, the hook that they led with mm-hmm. wasn't a very strong one. But yes. I do have a theory about it, and this could be something that's off or something that's accurate, but only time will tell.
Go for it. I'd love now, to hear it, brother.
I'm not sure if you remember, but to the Battlefield gamers out there, shout out to DPS and the boys. Battlefield 4 launched on 5 different platforms. It launched on PlayStation 3, PC, Xbox 360, Xbox One, and PS4. So, looking at the launch platforms for Halo Infinite, I did notice that Xbox One was included. So, I think that there might be an issue where they are trying to get the game to run on Xbox One, and we both know that that wasn't really the best powered console out there. So, it could be holding back and stopping the developers from showing us what next-gen is and what next-gen Halo would look like. But yeah, so that's my opinion on that, and I think that it could be something that's true, but at the same time I could be completely wrong. And I think that I've been wrong on a few things before, so it wouldn't surprise me.
To your opinion, Ash, they were actually running the game on a Windows PC, right? They were playing the game, showing us gameplay on a Windows PC, and they were streaming this live to YouTube, so they could be problems there as well when you were looking at the gameplay. But I do agree with you. I'm rooting for them. I had an Xbox One a couple of years ago. I sold it. But
what?
Yeah, I did. I'm a lover of all things gaming. We have to be on the show. So we
are. We are, just some of us more than others.
The one thing that I felt from this conference, though, I don't know if you feel the same way. Stepping back from Halo a little bit. When I watched the PlayStation conference, Ash, I don't know if you agree with me, but I got the feel that Sony was saying, hey, here's why you need a PlayStation 5. But when I was watching the Xbox conference, it was more or less like, here's why you need Game Pass Xbox Game Pass. And also, here's what's coming to Xbox in the future. Not, here's why you should get this console. Here's what's coming to the console and why you should buy it later on when the game's already. So it was more or less
I agree with you completely.
Yeah.
It was more a, this is Xbox and not, this is the future.
Yes, exactly.
And I think Sony gets it right because Sony decides, hey, this is what we are doing. And it's exciting. We want you involved.
Yeah.
And they actually deliver. And Xbox, I think that they are lagging behind. Although they may have the most powerful console of the generation.
Right.
It doesn't seem like they're using it properly.
I think it goes back to the games that they're developing. I think that they have such talented studios that they've acquired. And if they just give those studios some time to come up with games that are creative, that are fun, that are original, they'll have something to compete with PlayStation and Sony for. I don't think they should be rushing studios like 343 who are developing Halo Infinite and rushing all these other games that are in progress. I'm really excited to talk about the other games though that we've seen from the showcase, like Everwild. I think that's their first party, their new IP. What did you think of that trailer?
It did look cool. I did like the vibrancy and colors and looking forward to see how it runs on 4K and on UHD TVs with their 60 frames. I'm not sure if Everwild is 60 FPS.
No, it is.
Most of the game, they did say that it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's colorful, but we didn't see gameplay, which is concerning.
To that thought, I'm very glad you brought that up. But a lot of the concerns, one of the main ones from the showcase was that we got to see a bunch of CGI trailers, trailers that aren't in-game engine footage, and there was a really, really big lack of gameplay. The only gameplay we really saw was Halo Infinite, that they opened with. Everything else was trailers, world premieres.
I can't say concerning because I said concerning too much, but I think that it's going to be interesting to watch how this plays out.
Right.
And I think that they are more focused on competing with PlayStation and Sony than they are focused on making good experiences that people will enjoy.
Yes.
But at the same time, if you look at the media and the Americans in general, I think that the rest of the world is leaving them behind. I think that we might be seeing a collapse of the postmodernism or neo-modernism era that we are in now in American politics and culture. I could be wrong. I hope I am. But it's likened to the fall of the Roman Empire. Are we seeing that happening through Microsoft? Or am I taking it too far? What do you think?
I think time will tell. I really think time will tell. There's so much there that you need to just be patient with, because it feels like Microsoft, they're trying to do something. It's not yet done. They're still working on it, but I can't say for sure. Like I'm such a big fan of theirs, and like I said before, I'm rooting for them to win because they have such talented developers behind their name, but they are rushing this. They're trying to say, hey, yes, sell more. They're trying to sell more consoles than they are games, basically. They're trying to sell Xbox Series X, which I get is the objective, than they are about making, like you said, experiences for gamers that could actually help their cause and their product in the future.
Good question, though.
Mm-hmm.
What is Xbox Game Pass?
So Xbox Game Pass is basically, Xbox likes to describe, or Microsoft likes to describe this as the Netflix for video games. So you get to play... Okay. It's a game subscription service, obviously, for Xbox One consoles and Windows 10, and will be for Series X. And you get to play over 100 games. You get new deals, new discounts. You can play together with your friends. It's all the benefits. If you are familiar with Xbox Live Gold, it includes all the benefits of that. And I think while we're on this, I think that as what they did was really... I don't want to say cool, but what they did was something very significant to the gaming industry, because when you look at Sony and all these corporations that are developing games, everybody wants to make money. And I've got a PlayStation subscription, which I pay for a monthly or whatever. But when they came out with the price for it was $15, I was like, no ways. That is the cheapest Game Pass I've ever seen. That's roughly about 250 bucks in our in South African rands. So that's very cheap.
That's a good deal.
That's very cheap. And you get to play 100 games, and you get to play the games that you've seen from Xbox, the showcase. Well, some of them, I guess, not all of them, but you get to play the demo for Halo Infinite. You get to play all of that for just 250 bucks a month.
I think that was a very smart move from them, because I remember when the PlayStation 3 launched and PlayStation 4 as well, people bought the consoles, but didn't really have much to play with.
Right.
So I think that Xbox is thinking forward in terms of that in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, is it enough?
Great. Thank you. Thank you for asking that question. Is it enough? Because the games that we've seen, going back to the games that we've seen and talking about that, when I saw...
It wasn't all bad.
Yeah, okay. No. Let's dive into it in segments. So it started off bad, but when I saw the studios and when they were talking to the developers and the creative directors, and when we saw some storylines of what we'll be playing, it got a bit better. When they started showing us stuff like Everwild, and then they showed State of Decay 3, which looks pretty good.
Amazing.
It is a trailer, but it did look amazing.
I'd rather have that over The Last of Us 2. I'm just going to say that now.
Which Mav is currently playing.
Yes. Okay, we'll get into that just now. Let's finish our noob scoop before it turns into a Sunday.
Yeah. And then the other game that was interesting to me was Tell Me Why. It was a game that reminded me of Telltale series, where you get to make decisions in the game. That's kind of what it reminded me of. I think, I'm not sure if it's AAA or an indie game, but it looks interesting. I'm not going to say it looks cool. It just looks interesting. I don't know enough information to comment further, but it does look interesting. And then we saw an add-on to The Outer Wilds. We saw a trailer for that. We saw Grounded. We saw, a lot of people were hoping for this, but Stalker 2. How did you feel about that?
Okay, if I am being completely honest here, I don't know too much about Stalker. But what I do know is that the guys who made Escape from Tarkov. Now, if you don't know what that is a first-person shooter. It's a survival game by Russian developers. And I think it was the same guys who made Stalker went on to make that. So as far as Stalker goes, that's all I know. But I know that it has its roots in survival online gaming.
Right. I also don't want to jump too much into what Stalker is about, but it's basically set in the area surrounding the Chernobyl disaster site. I don't know if you watch the series or if you know about Chernobyl. I'm sure those of you have seen some trailers or something about it on HBO. That's basically what the game kind of revolves. It is a first-person shooter / survival horror game.
I heard that the series was it started sort of good, but then it got a bit shitty towards it. So shout out to Kellen, who said that he felt like he wasted his time watching. So I didn't really watch. Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it as well. So that one of us needs to watch it. I'll take one for the team, and then I'll get back to you guys with more information about Stalker 2 and how that relates to how the series relates to the video game, or if there's any relation at all.
Yeah, I think let's do that.
Okay, so moving on to the next game that we saw was called The Medium. I don't know if you...
Okay. Now, this one is something that I actually enjoyed. Now, not because of The Medium itself, but because of what it reminded me of. Now, if you watch the trailer for The Medium, it's basically a horror game. But the cool thing is that there are two different dimensions or two worlds that you play through simultaneously. Now, there is a game that did this before. Mavs, do you know which one I'm alluding to?
No. To be honest, when I saw the game, it reminded me of Stranger Things, but please go on.
Okay. So, the game is Titanfall 2. Respawn Entertainment made Titanfall 2 a good few years ago. But what they did do was have a level where you had to time jump. So this was a breakthrough in level design, because this was just amazing. There's no other word for it, but just amazing. I know we use the word amazing for many things, and I think it sort of lost its value because we say that everything is amazing, and then if everything is amazing, then nothing really is. But trust me, this one was amazing because it sort of sneaks up on you. And then Titanfall 2 is a game that is a hidden gem. If you haven't played it, the single player experience is something that you will remember and enjoy. If you need a break from the run of the mill shooters and you want to play an engaging game with a decent story, then Titanfall 2 is that. And it's funny because now I'm talking about a different game and I started with the Medium. Yeah, but the Medium seems cool. I hope that they do bring some level jumping into it. It looks like they will. But apart from the Medium, the game that I'm most excited for was Hellblade 2.
Okay, so before we jump into Hellblade, I just want to say, when I saw the Medium, when I saw the trailer for it, it reminded me a little bit about a game I played earlier this year called Control. It was made by Remedy, oh, yes. I think. I don't know if you've seen that.
I saw trailers for it. I saw some gameplay, but I didn't play it myself.
Okay.
Sure, please go on.
I played the game from start to finish, and I never played. Normally, when I play a game, I'm playing The Last of Us, I'll jump out and I'll play Apex or I'll join Fortnite or something. But when I played Control, I didn't play anything else. I just played throughout. I played Control every day for like a week, 2 weeks, and clocked it. And then when I saw the Medium, it reminded me of that, almost similar, because that world, although Control is a different world, the Medium, it's more horror, whereas Control is more like science fiction almost, but this is more horror. But I'm really excited to play the Medium. I really want to play the Medium. So I might just have to. And now jumping to Hellblade, Ninja Theory is doing a fantastic job with this game. Although we haven't seen any gameplay, there is a behind the scenes documentary that you can go check out on the YouTube page about how they're developing the game. Ash, your thoughts?
I think the best thing about the game is that it is going to be developed using the Unreal 5 engine.
Yes.
So I'm very curious to see how it actually looks out in the real world, out in the wild. Mm. And yeah, I'm keen to see that there is something that actually looks like what we've been promised so far for next gen.
And it's set in Iceland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So please, guys, I only saw about 7-8 minutes of the documentary, but please go and check their documentary out on YouTube, Ninja TV's YouTube page. It's some really incredible work that these developers are doing.
Have we spoken about The Outer Worlds as well? Okay, wait, I think I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's speak about Fable. Mavs, what thoughts did you have on Fable?
To be honest, it looked like an animation. Like, you know, when you go on YouTube and you see a new animation trailer from Disney or Pixar or something came out, that's what it looked like to me. There wasn't enough there for me to actually have some opinion or some comment about the game. I'm excited that it's more or less, for me, it was like more like an announcement trailer. There were rumors, but it kind of confirmed it. For me, it was more like an announcement / confirmation trailer that, hey, Fable is coming out. Fable 4, I think this would be Fable 4. Sash, I know you're excited to talk about The Outer Worlds, but before we do that, a new entry from Obsidian Entertainment, the developers behind this game, Avowed, which we saw about, I think, a minute of footage / trailer footage. What were your thoughts on that?
I can't remember seeing it, though.
It was really short, really quick.
Yeah, I think I might have missed that one.
Ash, I know you're very excited about The Outer Worlds Peril on Gorgon, the trailer that we saw for its new additional DLC.
Yeah, I am. I think that The Outer Worlds have now successfully stolen Fallout's thunder. I think from the dismal showing that we got of Fallout 76, that this is now where all the gamers who have a Fallout itch is going to go. And the steampunk aesthetic and the way that the trailer's put together, I think that this is something that I would love to see on next gen. Yeah. And yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'm very keen.
While you are on that, I do agree. I think that Fallout lovers and players definitely have something here that they could that could satisfy their need when they look at the Outer Worlds and this new DLC add-on, Peril on Gorgon. And just to be clear, guys, this add-on DLC will be available for not only Xbox but also PC and PlayStation 4. So you have that to look forward to if you're an Outer Worlds Obsidian Entertainment fan.
Okay, what else do you have to speak about from the launch?
Okay, I think closing remarks would be there were some amazing trailers, there's some amazing developers that are working on some incredible games, and I'm really looking forward to see what they bring to the table in the future in terms of gameplay and more footage that we could see that is being run on in-game. I think Xbox have a lot of work to do, and I'm hoping they said that they were going to come back later this year with some new stuff. So I'm hoping that's where they can redeem themselves, show us more or better Halo Infinite stuff. But yeah, what are your thoughts?
I am not convinced that after watching that I need to get an Xbox,
Sure.
and I'm saying that objectively, if I can be objective, which I'm not too sure yet. But I do think that I think there needs to be more quality and more. It needs to be more for the gamers,
Right.
because I think that with the last gen, Xbox went for more a media device, and that sort of backfired with them on the gaming community, as it should have. So let's see what stance they're taking with the new console, and what market they are going for, and the type of content that they put out there for us to enjoy. Okay, so Mavs, we did I know we did stereotypes in gaming
Oh, when was
2 weeks
that?
ago.
Oh, feels. Oh my, we've come a long way. We have come a long way.
Yeah, we have come a long way, and there was a voice note that I feel should be included in the conversation. I felt really crap for not including it last time. And
Sure.
let's hear what audio has to say.
Afternoon, gents. Audio here from DPS, Dog Pound Society. A stereotype that I think you guys can discuss is that people tend to think that guys that play online usually stay in their mother's basements or are youngsters, which is not the case in our clan. I've found that the ages range from 25 to 45, around about there. Guys usually are pilots, doctors, dentists, managers, people in higher positions that are married and have children. These guys don't want to go out at night and they would rather stay home with the family and maybe play a few games with their mates. So yeah, staying out of trouble, I guess. That's something that you guys can discuss. And then there's another thing that the women that don't like men playing games. At least when the guys play games, you know where they are. If they are not playing games, they'll be out with their mates, most probably at a pub, getting into trouble. But yeah, it's also something that you guys might be able to discuss. Thanks, gents.
Okay, that was a really funny end there to an audio clip. Thank you, audio, for sending that through. And gamers in South Africa, not what you think. Doctors, lawyers. There was a guy that was actually a doctor on a cruise ship that we played a couple rounds with. So it's very cool. Manas, what do you think about the voice note?
First of all, thank you so much. We're really sorry that we couldn't cover it on our stereotype episode, but hey, we'll cover it here. There's always we love our community, so feel free to send us voice notes like these. To Adio's point, that's some really interesting stuff that he brought up. Yeah, it's not gamers in South Africa are not what you think. I know that my CEO, the guy that I work for, he's a huge gamer. And we game sometimes on Apex and Fortnite.
Oh,
So
that's pretty cool.
gamers are everywhere, you just don't know it.
I wonder where we'd find gamers in South Africa. I mean, I think we did speak about finding gamers in our social circles, but where do we hang out?
That is an interesting question. I do feel like the world has changed from when we were kids, and now we have Facebook and Twitter and all of these things. And there's lots of groups on Facebook. But if you're like me, and I'm not sure, I can't speak to you, but I join groups and I'm very silent. I am very silent. I don't say anything. I don't post anything. I'm not like, hey guys, you want a
Okay.
game? That sort of thing.
I am the exact opposite. I think I talk too much on some of the groups that I'm on, if I'm being completely honest.
You are a podcast host, so
you know, that's from now on for life. That's my excuse. Let's deal with that. But yeah, there are WhatsApp groups, there are Facebook groups, there are Discord servers, and for those of you who don't know, I did not know this until very recently. So the younger gamers have some things that they keep to themselves, and Discord is one of them. Because the guys on Twitch, my teenage cousins that are not even like proper teen, they're like 13 years old, and they are telling me about Discord servers and how they join them. But I think we are just a bit old when it comes to that, and we are lagging behind. But I don't think we should be. I might be going off tangent here, but going back to what you were saying, where I think that gaming is now something that cool people do. Not bragging or anything. But yeah, it is something that cool people do. And I've likened gaming to what being a rock star meant to kids in the 80s. Mm. Because if you look at it now, this might be a bit of a wild theory, but I'm going to go ahead anyway, because everybody wants to be a gamer. And it's not just the kids, it's everybody who's ever picked up a game wants to experience more of it, mm-hmm. loves or didn't have a memory that was something that was a thing they look back fondly on. I mean, even my parents and my uncles mm-hmm. and even my younger cousins, everybody wants to be a gamer. And if they could get into the industry of gaming and do it as a career, I think that that's something that people do want to do and enjoy. But definitely, people do have careers outside of gaming, and some really cool ones. And for me, outside of gaming, I am an entrepreneur with a couple of businesses that I've started. Mavs, you are one as well. Do you want to give us more on that?
Am I? I didn't know. So I have a side hustle. I have a Gorilla Studios where I do 3D animations and my way of trying to break into the gaming industry. And I'm also a creative person. I work for a company where I do designs, filming, animation, and production.
Okay, so he's just being modest. I'm going to cut him off here because he's being modest. Because, I mean, the guys from Insomniac and some of the major studios that actually make the games that we play do actually follow him and his creations and his arts. Shout out to Mav, even though he's not shouting himself out, at Gorilla Studios. This is definitely an advert. We honestly, this podcast is just a front for us to advertise our businesses.
Oh man, that's true.
Okay, anyway, as we were saying, so cool gamers. Mavs, I think there was something that you wanted to share as well.
Yeah, man, I think like we said before, right? Gamers for so long have been identified as male or female. Let me start that again. Yeah, man, I think that everything, like the world that we're living in now has changed so much. And we spoke about this in our previous episode where we both were like, it doesn't matter where you're from, what you do, who you are, the gender of yourself. It doesn't matter. You're a gamer. Enjoy the games. There is a game for you. There's a game for everyone, actually. And I agree with you where it's not becoming a trend, but it is the cool thing to do nowadays. Especially now when we're living in a world where we're seemingly disconnected and we're all at home, it feels like gaming is something that'll take your mind off thing. It'll kind of, I don't want to say this, but I feel like I should because it's a better way to explain. For me, games are like reading a book. You know, when you're reading a book, you're in a new world, you're imagining the world, you're imagining the characters and the certain scenes that the writer is describing. With games, you're actually living that moment. The developer, the environmental artist, the director built this scene for you that you are playing as a person, and that kind of immerses you.
I think that's where the magic is.
Yes, that's where the magic is. It pulls you in, right? It makes you want to play more games.
Yes. And that's why the game is amazing. Yeah. It's just amazing.
And to Adio's point, it is an old bullshit lie and rubbish that gamers are fat and lazy and living in your mom's basement. It's bullshit. Think about it this way. I'm going to use a perfect example. Henry Cavill, the guy who plays Superman, the guy who plays The Witcher on Netflix, is a hardcore gamer. He, in fact, did not get the part of Superman because he was busy playing World of Warcraft when the director Zack Snyder tried to phone him to tell him you got the part. So
I saw this. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, I did see this.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
He said he was playing and he couldn't stop. He looked at the phone and he watched it ring and he didn't answer it because he was too busy playing.
Exactly. And that's my point exactly. Like, gamers are everywhere and can be everyone. It's no longer, oh, fat and lazy, you're sitting in your living room. No, it's not that. In fact, I don't know if you, I'm sure you have seen the Fast and Furious, the franchise, the lady there, I forget her name now, but her real name is Michelle Rodriguez. She's a hardcore Call of Duty and Halo player. Go check, there's some interviews out there, but I've seen this a while back, but she says that she's a hardcore Call of Duty and Halo. My point is, gamers are everywhere. Gamers are celebrities. They are people, normal people living everyday lives, doctors, lawyers, gamers, to Adia's point. And the old bullshit lie of a gamer is lazy and fat and living in his game, it's not true. It is not true.
Agreed completely.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that if you look for them, you'll find these people online, and everybody has a story and everybody has something that they will share with you if you ask them. One of my mates, Waldo, is he's a medic, and I would tease him because in Battlefield you call out for a medic, so I'll ask him if people do that in real life. But yeah, so he was actually at Kyalami when the races were going on. He was sending us pictures of the cars and videos of them going past, and the sounds of the V10 Lambos was just something else. And I think that we just need to be more connected with the gamers and with people that we come into contact with, because everybody has a story. Everybody has something that you don't know and something that you can learn from, but also there are plenty of interesting people out there.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can find them online. You can find them in the next lobby that you could join. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah. Also, shout out to Waldo. He also gave us some positive feedback this week, so thank you so much. I really appreciate it. To your point, though, I also feel like, I don't know if you agree with me, but I also feel like people that you were saying that have stories out there that you can connect with, I feel like some people may have stories of their, like when you're going through a hard breakup and a game is kind of therapeutic to you, in a sense. You don't forget that. You never forget that. It's something that sticks with you for a long time. And I feel like there's so many people out there with so many stories that could actually help people to start gaming and that could help change their life.
Definitely something for everyone.
Yep. You just have to find them. Yeah.
But also on the other side of this, mm-hmm. did you know that the World Health Organization labeled gaming a mental disorder?
Oh, get out of here, stupid. Stupid people. Oh, sorry. My bad. I take that back. They're actually helping with the fight of coronavirus. I'm really sorry for that. I shouldn't have said that.
Okay, so maybe we shouldn't say that directly, but we'll just say, you know who. Wink, wink. But yeah, so they did say that, and I think it could be true, because I do... Bear with me. I'm not going to turn against you and get the pitchfork out. I think that if you are addicted to playing games and that's all you think about, I think that maybe you do need to take a break from gaming, because we have seen like some hectic things where people don't eat for extended periods of time and then they just end up getting sick and dying. Yeah, so that has been something that has happened to people that we've seen on the news and in memes. So yeah, it does happen, but I think that the games are very... well put together, sort of like social media and how everything is architected, if that's a word, or designed for your attention and to be kept in your... Okay, so basically if your mind was a table, there will be a portion of that desk and the tabletop that will be set aside for gaming, and you'll be constantly thinking about that. And I think that's just how some things are. But at the same time, you can have very freeing experiences with gaming and things that you, memories that you'll have and memories that you will make that you can share with other people around you, and other gamers who've played that and feel the same way will know exactly what you mean.
So Ash, I don't think, you please correct me if I'm wrong, I may be wrong, but I don't think playing a lot of games, playing a lot of video games counts as a disorder. I think the disorder occurs or comes in when that interferes with your daily life. Like that's all you do on a daily basis. Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I think that if it becomes something that it's the only thing that you do and it's all that you think about, then that is a bit worrying. I'm not sure if you've seen the meme, but there is a meme that says that you know that you play games too much when you take a break from your main game to play a side game just to relax. I think you said early on in the show that one of the games that you played was something that you played straight and completely, so you finished it.
Control, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that there are other things that gamers do actually do.
Yeah, actually, that's a great point, actually, because if someone is listening to this and you feel like you're gaming too much and that's all you can think about, a question we'll try and answer here is what else can you do besides game all the time? Ash, do you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, okay. So some things that I do actually get into outside of gaming is I research topics that I find interesting, and business-wise, the strategy and work to be done, and honestly, the work never ends. So I'm always either learning, reading, working, or planning. I know I should be exercising somewhere in there too, but I'll figure that out soon. Miles, what about you?
So as we mentioned previously, I love to do 3D animations, little fun, like 3-second, 5-second clips that I like to play around with and do. I do that. And then when I'm not doing that, I'm watching TV, Netflix. There's some cool content there, that some series that you could check out. And I don't read as much as I'd like to, but if I'm about to do that, then I'm working or I'm on YouTube. So there's a lot of things that you can do to step outside the world of gaming. But that doesn't mean you're not a gamer anymore. It just means that you're taking it in moderation.
In doses.
Yeah, exactly. Because to be honest with you, Ash, anything too much of anything is bad for you.
Too much of anything in excess is usually bad for you.
Yeah. The last thing.
Wait. I think that's our noob vice. That is our noob vice.
What was it?
Advice from a noob. Noob vice.
Noob vice. We need to start making a dictionary out there. Noob. Our noob vice to you is that too much of anything is bad for you. So take gaming in moderate doses. Oh, awesome. And then the last thing that Adio said was advice to women, correct me if I'm wrong, gaming actually helps us stay away from clubs. I think he was referring to wives there or girlfriends.
Okay, so I can't really answer for that, but from experiences that I've had before, mm-hmm. I think that people do want some of your attention and time. So you do make time for them, but then people should also understand that when you're gaming, that's like your time to relax and de-stress and just chill a bit.
I think to Audio's point, the thing that related to me was it'll keep you out of trouble, gaming. And when I was younger, I'll be very transparent with our audience right now. I'm not sure how I'm going to come across, but anyway, when I was younger, it helped me to keep my head down, and I never felt the need to go to clubs and drink and stuff like that because I was sitting in front of the TV gaming. And I think that helped me a lot to not get involved with negative circles. I had friends, but that were fellow gamers, and we would play together. So I think that helped me a lot. But at the same time, to what you said, Ash, please do make time for your loved ones. That's the age-old saying, and it really does matter. So,
yeah, I do agree with you. My mom actually said that they got me my PlayStation, and they got me gaming. Mm-hmm. To keep me indoors and basically safer from what's going on in the world. Right. And funny story, mm-hmm. First day that I got a PlayStation 1 when I was 6, I think. And the first day that they came home with it, I remember nothing from it. And to this day, I don't remember the first time I played with it. But I remember the day after, which is very odd. And maybe I was tired or something, but I don't know. That's just a weird story for myself.
I think I can't remember clearly, but I think my mom was the same. She said that gaming would help, but my dad always thought that, as I said in the previous podcast, that gaming will turn you stupid. When it comes to like kids and stuff like that, when they're gaming, it only becomes a problem really when it's exam time and gaming becomes a distraction. That's the only time I think my mom had a problem and my dad as well. So otherwise, it did help me keep my head down and keep me with the right people in my life to kind of, all roads lead somewhere. So led me to the person I am today. So I'm glad
we wouldn't be here without you.
True. So I'm glad that I had gaming. I started gaming at a young age, basically. I don't know if you remember, but because you shared your experience when you had your first PlayStation, I had my first gaming console was the PlayStation 2. And what happened was I got it, and then I remember, I remember crying because I didn't have a memory card, the 64 megabyte memory card. Those red, black ones. Do you remember those?
Ooh, yes. Yes, I do.
You need those. I remember those
on the PlayStation 1.
Yes.
And so, wait.
Yeah, please go for it.
Okay. One of my friends, after listening to our show and about having any games of yours that were out in the wild that didn't come back home, he said that he lost a memory card. He lent someone a memory card and the person lost it.
Oh no!
So he was so mad with the person that the person actually stole one.
Oh my word!
To return his card.
So going back there to my story, it was we bought the console and then they didn't get me the card, and it's when you booted up the PlayStation 2, it said please insert memory card to kind of continue with the software, and
that's,
I didn't.
That's the worst.
That's the worst, and I didn't know what a memory card was. I didn't know what it looked like, where to get it, and I only ended up getting one, I think, 2 to 3 weeks later. So it just sat there.
And okay,
I
kept if anyone's going to invent a time machine, just please stop by Mal and drop him off a memory card when this does
please,
happen.
Please, and
having
thank you.
To restart the game every time you play it is not fun.
It is not.
Yeah, and then I think that wraps up our episode for today. It was a very content-packed episode. I hope that you guys enjoyed it. I hope that you guys enjoyed our stories. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're looking forward to making more. Mavs, do you want to say? Okay, no, I'm not going to say Mavs. You just have to.
I do want to ask you, Ash, do you think we can answer more of these questions? Like, can we get more people to ask questions? And then we can answer these and we'll tailor it to an episode.
Yep. Yeah, we can definitely do something.
Yeah,
like that.
Awesome.
Because we do want to get more people involved.
We do. And we do have some pretty exciting guests coming up in the future. So please stay tuned to us. Do subscribe to us. And please, please, please drop us a review on Apple iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. If you do want to say something, you want to shout out to us, if you want to get in touch, our email is noobologypodcast@gmail.com, and we do have a Facebook page, same name. Go ahead and check it out.